It's time for All Things Gardening with Charlie Nardozzi. Hey there, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
Many flower gardeners really plan out their growing spaces, and then they realize that they have, shady areas or even some wet areas, and they just don't know what to plant there.
Yeah, most people think of shady areas. They think of hostas or cohosh or plants like that. But there's some unusual ones you might want to try in a shady, especially a shady wet area. One of the ones is called goat's beard, and it's called that because it has these cream white flowers that I guess kind of look like a goat's beard. But the plant is big, and that's really what I'm going to focus on, are big perennials that would fill up a shady spot. The plant gets up about 4 feet tall and wide, nice dark green leaves. It's the kind of plant that once it's established somewhere, you don't want to move it. It's pretty happy where it is. And it's a native plant, so that's a nice one to have in a part shade kind of area, and an area that has some good moisture. Speaking of moisture, this other plant is one I first saw at the Montreal Botanical Garden. It's called Ligularia, or yellow rocket. It was in their shade garden, and it produces, there's two different types of it. One of them produces these stalks, look like little rockets, I guess, that are yellow-colored, that bloom in early summer, or it produces a yellow daisy-like flower that blooms the same time. The plant itself gets about 3 to 4 feet tall and wide, nice big fleshy leaves to it, really beautiful plant in a deeper shade area, but really needs moisture. Putting it near a stream or a wetter area, that's probably going to be where it really will thrive. And the third one is kind of an unusual one. It's called a Japanese spikenard. There's a name for you. It's also called Sun King Aralia. It's called Sun King because the leaves are a chartreuse yellow color. They really stand out. And this plant gets anywhere from 4 to 5 feet tall and wide in one growing season. It'll go from right from the ground up to that size. It has very insignificant yellow flower and a black seed to it. So you're really mostly growing it for those yellow leaves, and it's great in a part shade location where it can really pop an area. So choose some of these different large perennials for your wet, shady area and maybe be surprised with the results.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that Sun King Aralia. It was like perennial of the year or something. Did it hang on to its title? Or?
Well, every year there's a new perennial of the year, just like, any of these contests. But it is still considered a real unique plant, and it's pretty hardy. It's hardy to zone 3, so that's a kind of an unusual plant that looks so tropical.
Right. Oh, it's so striking. I love the look of it, too. Okay, let's take here some questions from listeners. This one says, my garlic is growing beautifully. I read somewhere that now's the time to add fertilizer. Is that correct? The soil around the garlic's foliage is still covered with straw from last fall when I planted the cloves. Do I sprinkle fertilizer right on top, and what kind? This is from Matilda in South Burlington.
Yes, it's still a good time to fertilize your garlic. It would have been ideal if you did it when it first popped out of the ground a month or so ago, but now is still a good time to do it. I would remove the straw, get an organic granular fertilizer, like a 5-5-5 kind of thing, sprinkle that in there, water it in well, and then put the straw back on top, and you'll be harvesting in about a month.
This next question from Kim in Burlington. Kim writes, my boxwood shrubs have what appears to be bugs called boxwood psyllids everywhere. They're tiny green bugs. They leave a sticky white residue. What can I do to get rid of them or just reduce them? Will they kill my bushes or spread to my nearby window boxes?
Yes, the boxwood psyllid is a bit of a problem on boxwoods. It looks like it's a little aphid. That's the kind of insect that it is, and it sucks out the juices for the leaves, causing them to curl and wilt. Usually it's mostly cosmetic. You have it here and there, and it really doesn't harm the plant. But if it is getting a little out of control, you certainly can spray it. And what I would start with is just a jet stream of water. Take your hose and a nozzle and just try to wash off the leaves and try to knock them off the plant. They won't come back up. If you need to use an insecticide, I would start with some of the less toxic things like insecticidal soap or neem oil and try that. And you don't have to worry about it spreading to the window boxes. It's specific to the boxwood plant.
Lori in Rutland. Lori writes, voles, how do you deter them? They've been eating any seedlings put in the ground basically overnight. Expensive and frustrating. Do the mole windmills work?
Well, first thing, Lori, I would think is to make sure it's mice and voles that are causing the damage, because this time of year, little seedlings can be attacked by a lot of things, including slugs and snails and cutworms. So if you're sure that it's mice and voles, then a simple solution would be to get some castor oil. So it could be liquid castor oil or pellets. Put those around the plant. The mice and voles don't like the smell of that, and they'll go somewhere else to eat.
Great. And if you have questions for Charlie to answer on an upcoming episode, go to vpr.org, search for All Things Gardening, and send us your question there. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary. And I'll be seeing you in the garden.